All right. Thanks, gospel choir. Are you guys going to... Oh, good. I thought they were going to stand there. That would have made me feel uncomfortable. Hey, a couple quick announcements. Did you notice it's the gospel choir and Kate Koyman again? It's the magic combination. Hey, couple quick things. There was an announcement about worship team. People who are interested in information about joining the worship team with Josh. It is not going to be tonight. So if you're planning on going to that, it's not happening. March 2 instead, and ask Josh if you have more questions about what that looks like or if you need any info about the worship team. Also, how many of you are planning on standing up today? I hope some of you are planning on doing that. Here's the deal. Today, we're all wearing our shirts. There are going to be a couple of informal conversations that you can join. And then tonight, Hope for Harmony, which is a prayer service and kind of a community forum kind of thing. That's happening at 7 o'clock in Moss Auditorium, and I want to invite all of you to be part of that. Well, I am really just oh so glad to be here face-to-face with you guys this morning because I was actually, I don't know if you know this, supposed to preach this past Wednesday, which was the greatest day that ever existed in the history of mankind, the snow day. No, maybe it wasn't that great, but it was a wonderful day in my life because I live in Grand Rapids and I was planning to preach on Wednesday and we knew the roads were going to be bad. So we had this inspired idea that what I was going to do, if the roads were too bad for me to drive in, was that I was going to preach to you guys via Skype. So, yeah. So my big face was going to be projected up on that big screen, and I was going to preach to you guys while sitting at my dining room table at home. And let's just say I believe that God answered my own personal prayers and supplications by having a snow day, because I really did not want to do that. So I'm really glad to be here face-to-face with you guys. Face-to-face is better for preaching, I think. And funny thing, I was actually planning to preach on a passage where Paul talks about being face-to-face with people. So listen to these words from the book of Colossians. "For I want you to know," Paul says, "how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all those who have not seen me face-to-face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we know, you remember Paul Borsma's like play card thing. This is a letter that Paul is writing to the Christians in Colossae while he is in prison. Right, jail, prison. And so one of the downsides of being in prison, there's lots of downsides. One of them is that you can't be face to face with the people who you want to be with. And Paul knows how powerful face to face is for human beings. And we actually know the power of the face-to-face from a really young age. I was in nursery the other day with my son Jake, who's just 1 year old. And he was with this other little boy, and all of a sudden this other little boy starts crying. He wants his mommy, and the tears are rolling down his cheeks. And Jake did the funniest thing. He walked right up to that little boy, and he looked right in his face, and then he started crying too. So then I had two kids crying. I was like, yes. Jake is learning about emotions by looking at people's faces. It's part of how we develop as human beings. And the thing he's learning right now is empathy. He saw that little boy crying, and he, too, started to cry. It's part of how we learn one of the things that makes us human, which is empathy. And I read an interesting study this week. There are some researchers at the University of Michigan who have a hypothesis about your generation. They think that your generation has less of a capacity for empathy than generations that have come before you. And they think it might have something to do with the lack of a face-to-face interaction. You guys are interacting on Facebook and texting each other and all these other ways that you can communicate, but you're not communicating face-to-face the way generations before you have done. And they think this means that you guys are less empathetic than other generations are. I don't know if that's true, but I do know that these researchers believe the face-to-face interaction is very important, and so does Paul. So that's why Paul is having such a hard time, because he wants these Colossian believers to have something. What is it that he wants them to have? Well, he wants their hearts to be encouraged and united in love. He wants their community to be a loving community, but not just because loving communities are nice to be a part of. He wants their hearts to be encouraged and united in love so that they might have a certain kind of faith. And that faith looks like this. He says he wants it to be, they want to have all the riches of assured understanding and knowledge of God's mystery. So I think what Paul is saying here is he wants these Colossian believers to know in their gut that what they believe is true. And what they believe is a mystery. So how can we know in our gut that a mystery is true, right? The whole definition of a mystery is that you can't really know it inside and out. I think what Paul is saying here is that God's mystery is not a puzzle that we are to solve. And it's not a philosophy that the best and brightest among us can figure out. God's mystery is not a test for us. God's mystery is a person. And that person has a face. And that person came face to face with human beings so that we could know in our gut what we believe. Because this is a faith that we don't just think about with our brains, but we know it because we can experience it. We can feel it and see it and hear it because God's mystery is a person that we can experience. But the thing is, the Colossian people didn't have Jesus among them, face to face with them. They didn't even have Paul among them, face to face with them. It's a little bit like us, right? We don't get to be like Thomas, who didn't quite believe it, and he was able to put his hands right in the wounds of Jesus so that he could know in his gut that it was true. We don't get that either. We don't get face to face with Jesus. What we get instead is face to face with each other. So look around you a second. These are the faces of Jesus Christ to you for right now in your life. And you are the face of Jesus Christ for them right now. These are the people who will show you what it looks like to experience the mystery of God. This is how you will see and feel and hear and touch the mystery of God with each other in this community. Now, Paul is struggling for these Colossians. He's not face to face with them, and he is afraid for them. Why is he afraid? He's afraid because he knows that as they're standing face to face with each other, if they don't make that mystery of God plain to each other, there are lots of other mysteries out there that they might choose to follow. The good news of Jesus is not the only story that these Colossians are hearing. They're hearing lots of other stories, and lots of stories that seem plausible to them. Stories like empire is king, or Caesar is God, or your identity, first and foremost, it's to be a Roman citizen. Or how about this one? Cash is king. Or success is God. Or your identity, first and foremost, it's as a consumer. I think that whether we know it or not, that's the plausible argument that we are hearing around us. And we're hearing it so much that maybe we don't even know it's the story that's being told to us. We're just used to it. And it seems plausible to us if simply because we're hearing it so consistently. And the more we live into truths like that, the less plausible we actually make God's mystery, the truth of God's mystery, seem to us. Think about it. I think we all know somebody in our lives who just can't seem to follow Jesus because they hear Christians talking about one kind of story. But the story that they see and feel and hear and experience, the story that's being lived out by those Christians, is another story altogether. It's something different. Maybe they've been hurt by the church. Maybe they just see a lot of hypocrites who are Christians. What they see when they come face to face with a Christian is not the story of the good news. It's another story. So I think the point is this: when we fail to encourage each other, to love each other, to be united to each other, we make the good news of Jesus, the story we know in our guts to be true, we make that story less plausible for us and for the people who are watching us. And we make the story of our empire seem a lot more plausible. And that's why Paul is struggling so much, because he knows that the more you live out what you believe, the more you actually believe what you believe. And not just that, but the more the world around us will come to see the good news of Jesus as a story that's plausible. I think the world around you is actually watching you. They're studying you, and they think they have you figured out. They've called you the Facebook generation. They say you're disconnected. They say that you have a hard time with empathy, that you're selfish. They think that they know the story that's plausible for you guys. And I think that's the big question for us, right? Is that the story that's most plausible in your life? When people come face to face with you, is that the story that they will see and hear and touch and experience? I don't think that is the most plausible story. In fact, I don't think that you guys feel that story in your gut. I think there's another story in your gut. And I think the challenge is for us to live that story out as we face each other today. Hope College, I want your hearts to be encouraged and united in love so that you may have all the riches of assured understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ himself. Let's pray. God, as we face each other, let's be the face of Jesus Christ. Give us the courage, give us the wisdom, give us the ability to make plausible the good news of Jesus that we know in our gut is true. In your name, amen. Go in peace.